Dr. Cornel de Ronde is a geologist, and in Lake Rotorua, which sits at the heart of a massive ancient crater of a dormant volcano, it's been mapped in detail for the first time, revealing, among other things, hidden hydrothermal systems of eruption craters, an ancient river, and a large magnetic anomaly in the southern part of the lake. GNS Science says this proves for the first time that Rotorua's mainland hydrothermal systems extend into the lake's hidden depths. Cornel de Ronde is with us. I spoke with Cornel a few years ago when he did a similar mahi at Lake Talawera. And by coincidence, he and I shared a classroom together in high school. So it's good to catch up with you again, Cornel. Tēnā koe, man. It's great to have you on the program. I get a warm welcome.
Kia ora, though.
Kia ora. I suppose you'd be in your 60s now too, eh, bro?
Yeah. I'm always reminded when I look in the mirror, but
same.
You know, when you look through your eyes, you still think you're 25, but your body's telling you something else.
Tēnā koe, I can total that kōrero, Cornel, thanks. Well, the last time we spoke, when you did a comprehensive mapping of the sea floor of Lake Talawera, I think in a way we're trying to see if we could discover remnants of the pink and white terraces. It was the most comprehensive lake floor investigation that I could recall, Cornel. So it's good to see that you're still involved in this way. Rotorua, Lake Rotorua has some fascination. At first you think there's not much going on, but you've discovered there's a hell of a lot going on under there. Take us into your survey, Maki, and talk with us about what you've been doing, please, Cornel.
Sure. So this is a joint project with New Zealand Navy, and every year or so they have projects that they train their people on in terms of surveying of lake floors or sea floors. And so we got together and said, what do you think about doing something in Lake Rotorua? And they were quite keen. So it was over a couple of seasons, about 10 weeks each time, and they had a crew down there and we would sort of direct all of that. So they did all the mapping of the lake floor, so it's what we call the bathymetry. And effectively, it's like what we did with Rotomahana. We just strip off the seawater, or the lake, rather, and then you can see what's below. So you're quite right. There's some intriguing stuff, some of which was known before, but I suggest this is much greater detail than before. And so we see, for example, just off Sulphur Point, extends for about 900 metres, maybe a kilometre, which is the sort of lake extension of the geothermal system in the city itself. And people knew of that, but I mean, what we've been able to do is define the boundaries and just tell you how large is the offshore extension. So quite big, and it's full of, as you say, these hydrothermal eruption craters. So when things get overpressured, they tend to sort of erupt. We see that in Waimangu, for example. And then extending from there to west of the island in the middle of the lake, this looks like an ancient river. This is would have been the original sort of pathway from which the water flowed out of that region. And then the whole lake is full of what we call pockmarks, which is where gas is escaping through the sediments that have infilled now the centre of the lake. And so there are thousands and thousands of those, and some of which are over 50 metres in diameter.
I'm sure that our iwi associated with the lake and its welfare, the Rotorua Lakes Trust, for instance, would have been very intrigued and interested in your findings. How did you collaborate with the local Māori people, Cornel?
Yes, so we've been in collaboration with the Te Arawa Lakes Trust for, I don't know, well over 10 years now, starting with Rotomahana. And, they were pretty stoked. As you say, there's a number of things we found that we didn't really realise before. Obviously, that extension of that geothermal system, but also just northwest of the island is another, looks like a geothermal anomaly there. So there's hot water coming, or heat coming through the lake there, and it's surrounded by an area which appears to be drawing down the water to feed that system. So we always keep in constant touch. We have hui all the time, and I present them with the draft of the map before it goes to publication.
Okay, well, let's talk about some of the findings here. And we know it's a very volatile piece of our country, and the run between, say, Taupo, Tongariro, across through Pukaki and beyond and to Whakaari is very active. And we've seen the geothermal vents on land in and around Rotorua This finding suggests that there is a trail of geothermal activity that goes under lakes and right across the land. Why is it important we understand this and know more of it, Cornell?
I think up until now, most of the geothermal systems, as you know, have all been on land, or at least people can access them and see them. So that was pretty straightforward. But we've wondered for some time that whether or not the lakes might host geothermal systems, because they tend to be depressions in the topography, and often water flows to the lowest point. So we started this with Whakamahana, and we've since done 7 lakes in the Rotorua area, and the map that's just come out is the 4th in the series. And we're finding that most of these lakes are associated with geothermal activity. So Rotorua itself is inside the Rotorua caldera, which is a large volcano, as you said at the beginning of this piece. But all the other lakes, Rotowiri, Rotomaa, Rotoehu, and so on, they're all on the boundary of a really large caldera system called the Okataina caldera. So there's something to do with the boundary of these big volcanic systems and the location of geothermal activity.
Tēnā koe, back in the day, the investment into geothermal energy and converting it into power and therefore money was discouraged by the government, who didn't want to mess with the tourism properties that Rotorua is now famous for. But when we look at the financial success of Māori entities like Tō Ropaki, just out of Wairiki, we're reminded that there is potential to utilise this geothermal energy as a power source and therefore as an income stream. I know there's a lot in that, but do you detect that there may in the future be some vehicle to utilise the geothermal energy that exists in and around Rotorua, but also under its lake?
Yes, I think so. I mean, technology is there today. For example, they can directional drill 4 kilometres, which is an astronomical number if you think about it. So you don't, if you're ever to look to the resources under the lake, iwi, for example, you don't have to have potentially some ugly big pontoon on the middle of the lake. You could potentially have a look at it by stepping back from, you know, the foreshore or behind the foreshore and drilling under the lake. So whether or not that happens, those are the decisions. That's not up to me. But you touch on an interesting subject, because, you know, in days gone past, geothermal energy in New Zealand has largely been associated with big geothermal plants. But, you know, a lot of these things that I'm talking about arguably are much smaller than Wairiki and Ohaki and so on. But they still have energy. And so I think it's really a mindset or mind shift that might say, you know, whether or not people want to tap into this resource for smaller geothermal projects.
Interesting stuff. Well, it's nice catching up with you again, Cornell. How do you think the information that you've collated is going to be used positively going forward, Ewa?
Well, you know, people can just go to the GNS website. There's called a map store and online, and they can download this map that we're talking about. If they want a really high resolution printed copy, I think it's $30 or something. It's just cost, and then we'll send them a copy of that. So for the councils and things, I think they're very interested to see, you know, what is going into the lake. Historically, it's just been natural entities, and also the anthropogenic, so from man-made, whether it's from fertilizers from farmers. But there is a third leg to that stool, and that's geothermal. So I think what this does is just to highlight where it is, how much there is, and maybe what effect there is. So, you know, this will help